It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. From the attack on my life in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, which killed a husband and father, to the attacks on ICE agents, to the vicious murder of a healthcare executive in the streets of New York, to the shooting of House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and three others, radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives.
That's President Donald Trump from the Oval Office after the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And there is so much to unpack there. I mean, okay, yeah, he starts off right. Okay, yeah, we don't want to label people. And then he does it. Then he labels the left. And he doesn't just, I mean, at that point, he didn't even know. None of us knew who the shooter was. None of us knew the shooter's motives. Yeah, and yet he's already blaming the entire political left. Somehow the entire political left is implicated in the murder of Charlie Kirk. And then he goes on to say, talk about how other shootings have happened. And of course, they're all shootings of people on the right. And those all bother me too. You know, but what about what happened to in Minnesota? What happened to Josh Shapiro? What about happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband? He doesn't mention those. He doesn't mention all the mass shootings in schools and churches and public places. I mean, he does exactly what he says we shouldn't do. He does exactly that. And it's despicable. It's absolutely despicable. And I hope people see through it. And maybe people are seeing through it. I'm going to quote two Zachs. Zach Nunn, he's our U.S. Congressman at present, a Republican. And Zach Walls, he's the Senate Majority Leader, Minority Leader, rather, in the Iowa House. He's running for the U.S. Senate. Zach Nunn said, quote, "I think the overall violence that's happened, both with Charlie Kirk's death, with the killing of children at a church in Minnesota, with the execution of state legislators in Minnesota, this is not one side or the other. This is an extremism that has started to take shape, take hold, and there's an opportunity here for us not only to reset the conversation, but candidly come together as a country in a way that we did after 9/11. I hope that's truly what takes place." End quote. Okay. I have no problem with that, except I think it would have been more accurate for Nunn to admit that most of the shootings have happened from extremists on the political right. That does not excuse those that happen from folks on the left. I still don't know, and it's not clear to me or anyone yet. Maybe Tyler Robinson is the guy's name who killed Kirk, but what is his? It's to me, at least at last check on the news, it's still unclear as to where exactly he's coming from. Anyway, it's encouraging to hear people standing up to the president on this. You know, more predictably, on the Democratic side, Zach Walls says, quote, "I condemn the political violence in the strongest possible terms. My prayers are with his widow and his two young children. You know, this is a country where we resolve our arguments with words and debate, not with weapons and violence. And we absolutely need leaders who are going to work to try and lower the temperature." Okay, two comments from Zachs, political Zachs, both pretty similar and both very much in contrast to what you heard from President Trump, whose comments are despicable, absolutely despicable, and so lopsided. So, I mean, this is the president. The one thing I would have liked to see Nunn say is, and I refute the divisive manner in which President Trump made his statement. Something like that. But that might be expecting a little bit too much. Anyway, we'll see where this goes. One of my audience members mentioned to me that the killing of Charlie Kirk feels like the Horst Wessel moment. And I didn't, Horst Wessel, I had to look that up. Maybe you know who he is, but he was a young Nazi back in the 1930, maybe late 20s, who was killed, murdered, and became a unifying symbol. You know, Hitler and the Nazi party used him all over the place as an example of why they needed to be strong against the left. In this case, it was the Communist Party, but other elements as well. So, yeah, this could be, I mean, I do not think Charlie Kirk's shooting is going to be an issue we don't hear from. We're going to hear a lot more, and a lot of it might be bad. But again, I'm encouraged that some people, including some on the political right, are now saying, yeah, we need dialogue and civility, not guns and shooting. All right, so the blowing up of a boat in the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, I said Gulf of Mexico. You know, there was a really good commentary about that on Facebook. Again, I don't know who the author is. I got this from Brian Terrell's Facebook page, but I thought it was very astute and worth referencing. The author wrote, "The more I think about the boat full of people blown up by the U.S., the more things don't add up." And this was written, again, before more things have come out that just validate what this author is saying. I'll go back to the piece. He says, "So a small boat goes speeding past the Navy, and what? The captain picks up the phone and calls the White House? Of course, he gets through instantly. 'Excuse me, sir,' says the captain, a small boat just went speeding by. What should we do?' 'Do,' barks the commander-in-chief, 'shoot it out of the water.' 'Done,' says the captain, and he relays the order to the crew. They take aim and they shoot it out of the water. 'Good job,' says the president with a fist pump. 'Fight, fight, fight.'" So that's probably not how it went down, right? You know, Trump and Marco Rubio have made it clear that Trump personally gave the order, and I doubt that's how it happened. Because Trump, you know, had no idea who was on that boat. And none of the officers boarded the boat. They didn't collect any evidence. They didn't verify that there were drugs being smuggled. They didn't try to apprehend the people on board. And, you know, again, this weekend, the new evidence, the 11 people who were killed on this boat, none of them, not a single one of them, was a member of Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan gang that President Trump likes to warn us about. That information is from Venezuela's interior minister. And these all 11 people were from two small villages. So there's a really good chance that these were refugees fleeing Venezuela. I mean, a lot of Venezuelans have come here because things aren't good there. Same reason a lot of other people have come to the U.S., because things aren't good in their home country. The number is, I think, what, hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans have come to the U.S.? And sure, there are probably some bad apples in there, and there are probably some members of the Tren de Aragua gang. But apparently these were all 11 from two small villages. Also, it appears that the boat was, you know, beginning to head the other direction, away from the Navy vessel. And also, as the story points out, a very small boat. And if you've got 11 people on a very small boat, where are the drugs? How, you know, what kind of a cargo are you going to be hauling of any substance? Where do you stash them? You know, this is a boat that they were in international waters. They were not threatening the U.S. There were no weapons, apparently. In the photographs we've seen, there were no weapons. So, you know, the best guess is Trump made this decision, and I don't doubt that he made the decision to blow up the boat, to send a message to President Maduro of Venezuela, but not just to President Maduro, but also to us. Trump took an oath to uphold the Constitution, but he's finding one way after another to totally flaunt the Constitution. Right now, we're seeing this tyranny of executive orders, and we have unidentified mass federal agents who are kidnapping people without due process, grabbing them off the street, putting them in the cars, jailing them indefinitely, you know, who knows where, sometimes in Kentucky, in solitary confinement, if you're an Irish person who can't eat swill. But again, it's not just violent criminals, people who have lived here for decades, going through the process of trying to become citizens, people who are working, doing important jobs, paying taxes, Korean people working on a green energy facility in Georgia. I mean, it is crazy what's happening. And students, tourists, even U.S. citizens being rounded up. Trump still has the military in Los Angeles. Don't forget that. Trump still has the military in Washington, D.C. He's taken over the police department there. And when he was asked, how long will the U.S. military be occupying Washington, D.C.? And he said, well, at least till the end of the year. We'll see how that goes. And he's mentioned Chicago or Baltimore or Portland, New York or Memphis as other cities where he might want to deploy the U.S. military. So back to that Venezuelan boat, okay? How is what Trump did not mass murder? How is that not mass murder? I mean, 11 people killed, no due diligence, no production of evidence, no attempt to board the vessel, apprehend the people, arrest them if you need to, but no attempt to see who they were or what they were doing or whether or not they actually had the illegal items that, Trump claims they had. So, I think, a part of this is Trump is trying to instill fear, and he's doing a good job of it. He's making us, and this comes back to the witch story I read earlier. It comes back to the whole thing about fear. When we're afraid, we are paralyzed. When we are suspicious of others, we don't connect with them. And I think that's part of what's going on. The White House response to what happened was this, quote, "These were evil Tren de Aragua narco-terrorists trying to bring illegal drugs into our country and kill Americans." That's what spokeswoman Anna Kelly said in response to press questions. Let's take that apart. Apparently none of them, well, first of all, evil was an unnecessary adjective. Tren de Aragua. Apparently none of them were members of the gang. So they weren't narco-terrorists. And they weren't bringing illegal drugs into the U.S. And they weren't trying to kill Americans. I mean, nearly everything in that sentence is hogwash. As I said earlier, I'm glad to see some Republicans standing up to what Donald Trump is doing and saying. And that certainly goes for Senator Rand Paul, who criticized the strike, saying, quote, "During my time in the Senate, I have been the foremost critic of drones being used on civilians, especially Americans. The recent drone attack on a small speedboat over 2,000 miles from our shore without identification of the occupants or the content of the boat is in no way part of a declared war and defies our longstanding Coast Guard rules of engagement, which include warnings to halt, non-lethal force to capture, and ultimately lethal force in self-defense or in cases of resistance." Let's go back to that a bit. I mean, that's Rand Paul. Three things. First, quote, "Warnings to halt." No warnings were given. No warnings at all. Two, "non-lethal force to capture." There was no attempt to use non-lethal force. And three, "ultimately lethal force in self-defense." There was nothing to defend against. And there was no resistance. I really hope that more people on the political right start saying how wrong this is. I mean, good for Rand Paul. And there are Democrats standing up to it as well. So, okay, from an online search, I had to check this out. Following a drone strike on a boat near Venezuela in early September 2025, American officials indicated that some survivors of an initial attack were killed in a subsequent strike. The U.S. military conducted multiple strikes on the vessel after the people on board altered its course and turned back toward shore. So this is even worse than what Rand Paul says, okay? Not only were, the evidence now is that not only were the 11 people not killed by the drone strike, but when some survived, they were later killed in an additional strike. And also that the boat was actually heading back to shore. I don't know how anybody can talk about this president as acting with any legitimate authority. This is not on U.S. soil, 2,000 miles from U.S. soil. Again, this violates the Constitution. It violates international law. It is so, so awful. And then to have his press secretary, you know, try to spin it as, you know, killing narco-terrorists who are bringing illegal drugs into the country, who are 2,000 miles from shore. So again, I think, I hope we see more people speaking out again. I know the Epstein files is everybody's obsession. Great. But things like this get under my skin more than anything. I cannot believe that he did this. I cannot believe that they try to spin it the way they are. I am encouraged that there are some Republicans speaking out. Let's see if more of that can happen.